Welcome to Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, the AARPG's new actual play series using the Dragonbane RPG by Free League Publishing. I'm Nathan, your host, co-GM, and I'll also be playing Brains, the idiot Wolfkin thief. Let's meet my friends and fellow cast members.
I'm Malcolm, your co-GM, and I'll also be playing Corinne Rinesmith, the judgy halfling bard.
Hi, I'm Tyr, and I'll be playing Dane Ringson, a human scatterbrain scholar.
I'm Chris, and I'm playing Sigyn, elfin huntress.
Hey all, this is Anthony, and I play Kurgan, and he wants to remind you,
you should go and get stuffed.
Hello everyone, this is Sean. Now we'll be playing Baylor Banefire, Dwarf Artisan Specialist.
I'm Tim, AARPG's latest temporary double seeker probationary player. I play Quiverwing, the enchanting mallard whose spellbinding plumage shivers like distant lightning on a moonlit night.
Together, we'll explore ancient secrets of a long-forgotten empire, facing challenges and forging our destiny in a world where every castle, cave, and crypt holds the echoes of a bygone era. Get ready for an epic journey filled with laughter, suspense, and unforgettable moments in the Misty Vale.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Role Play Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan. I am your host, and we are playing Dragonbane. It is episode 41. That means we started a new Reaper file, and you, listener, super duper care about that.
Oh, son of a bitch. I left the door open.
And the Reaper came in.
The Reaper! Reaper. Episode 41, we are doing our modified version of the Dragon Emperor campaign in the Misty Vale. We've got the Sword of Umdurman. We've got most of us here tonight. We are still missing Tony. We miss him dearly. And Tyr, our lovely Tyr, is missing tonight as well.
Lovely Tyr, yeah, okay.
And we hope he'll be back soon because we need his awkwardness.
We need his parlay.
Need his parlay. Seeing how you're about to enter one.
Don't worry, I'm sure Brains can handle it. Yep. So if you've made it this far, you know who we are, so no need to introduce ourselves. But I am going to hand the reins over to Malcolm, who's going to bring us up to speed and let us know what kind of shit we're about to get into. Take it away.
All right. We last left off. The party had left the ruins of the logging town of, I believe it was, Ostagoth, and had, by midday, just shortly afternoon, came across an orc encampment. The encampment consisted of large, sort of like, you know, conical-shaped tents, various unlit fire pits, and what appeared to be some sort of pens for possibly wargs. There were very few orcs you actually saw at first, but you'd bet the party did eventually run into a sentry patrol. And after some inquiry and a little bit of parley, they were able to convince them that they needed to see the chieftain, Maladok, and also with the helpful use of the banner of Tarkruk, which they recovered from the Tower of Sighs, which I believe Dane is now holding. They were going to go see the chieftain in the command tent. So, as you are escorted by a small party of orcs and a couple of goblins, you arrive at this very large tent, which is conical in size and sort of goes towering up into the sky. And the flaps are pulled. There are two of the biggest orcs you've seen, what appears to be wearing some sort of plate and having halberds and swords of their sort, that sort of pull back the sort of heavy, you know, heavy cloth that covers the door, and the orcs you're with, two of them, escort you in. This inner chamber of the tent appears to be a smaller, you know, just a small sectioned off by various curtains and tapestries. There is a table that's obviously supposed to be some sort of like strategic tactical table, because you can see all the little models pushed to one side. But currently there is a rather large orc who has, you know, some sort of stylized, you know, chainmail and has these various necklaces and a headdress that it's put off to the side and war paint on, who's simply scrabbling. He's apparently taking a quill to various pieces of paper and scrabbling him down, while another orc who sits there, is much thinner and smaller, wearing spectacles, watches him, and he just sort of grumbles. And there, and sign there. He sort of looks up. What is it? Gotcha. You know, this wouldn't be happening if we had the scorpion pits. Hey, he goes, he just looks like his, the smaller orc just goes, those are not approved by OR. If you can just finish signing those.
Orc relations?
Orc resources.
Orc resources. Okay.
He says.
That makes sense.
And what is this about? They wish to see the chieftain. He looks over at a, at a candle. Do they realize it's the middle of the day? Come, you just leave them here. You just, what do you, who speaks for you, Daken?
I will speak for us. And please,
that seems like a terrible idea. Absolutely not. I don't think I'm going to have you. I don't think we're going to have you speak for us. That seems a terrible, as all characters.
He means well, but he...
All right. He takes a small hourglass and tips it over and sort of like lets the sand run.
Mm-hmm. I push Sigyn forward.
So we are here.
He stops it.
With the lake.
You hear about the troubles at the lake.
Yes, we understand there's an...
There's a lot of lakes and there's a lot of towers. Is there a particular lake that you were looking into? And why does it have to do... Why would the chief want to be concerned about your lake problem?
Perhaps we can assist each other with handling the archmage that purportedly lives on this lake.
He puts down his quill. Well, let me see that. Okay, yeah, yes. Archmage on lake. Do we have one of those? She could mean the undead one. Oh, the only one that really matters. Great. Yes.
How many archmages are you aware of?
He sort of gives you a look and goes, that's intelligence important. You can't go into that. So.
you're making it up. Excellent.
So, yes, there's a lich, and that lich stands between us and what we want and you and what you want.
Presumably.
Assuming you're not cultist. He looks over at the smaller orc with the glasses and goes, I think strip searching would just be very time consuming. Right. Okay. Anyway, assuming our particular goals aligned, what have you got for the chieftain?
Well, for one, we have absolutely no desire for the demon lord to enact his reign of terror in the Vale here, and nor would we like to see the Dragon King and his forces return.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you're going to go stop that by going to the island.
Well, we will if you come with us.
We always like company.
He
a jolly band.
Grabs his temple and just grabs his forehead. All right, so you want us to come with you to the island on the Mirror Lake with the poisonous gases, like expedition number... He looks over the smaller orc, and the smaller orc goes, Expedition PK3. Yes. PK3, which has not reported back and is presumed lost.
More like Expedition TPK, if you know what I mean.
I just hold Brains' muzzle shut.
All you have to do is give him something shiny to distract him.
I don't you give him, I thought we were going to give him my blanket.
And what would entice us to send yet another expedition to the island at this point, since nothing strategically has changed for us? We're still awaiting additional forces to arrive.
What do you propose to do with your additional forces? You haven't seemed to have gained much ground.
I know that you, Daken, are late on actually stopping this demon lord from returning for another 200 century reign, but we have sent several expeditions to test the nature of the island, to verify wind speeds and the movement of the poisonous noxious fog. We've also had researchers look into alternate devices. We currently have, the Lorx just goes, we currently have like 15 teams out, sir, right now looking for the statuette. Yeah, we're trying to stop this. We're trying to save the valley. We're trying to save the world. Hmm?
Have you tried with Dakin?
Oh, you know, Dakin cannot be trusted, particularly humans.
Well, one of my best friends is a human, and...
Yes, come on. Who makes up the mass majority of their... of the cultists belonging to Sathmog? Few of the elder races, but there's definitely humans, and he looks over mallards among them.
How many of the Sathmog supporters have approached you for this kind of engagement?
A few.
Truly?
Truly.
How did you deal with them?
Strip search, fire pit.
If only you had a scorpion pit.
That is for internal affairs. The little orcas goes, that's for contract negotiations, sir, not just for every internal. Fine, whatever.
We do have an orcish artifact that you may be interested in recompense. We have the Banner of Tahruk, which we would be happy to give to you.
He stares at you intensely. And then sort of turns sideways and looks at the little orc who goes, that was lost some time ago. It was an important artifact of the tribe of the Tahruk. If it can be authentic, you know, if it can be authenticated and we can, you know, verify its providence, I mean, as a scholar of the scroll and fire pit, I should be able to, which Dane is like, ooh.
Well, the female ghost of the chieftain of that tribe gave it to us personally.
Well, let's see this banner, he says.
Darg, bring it forth.
Darg doesn't have it.
Oh, I thought he was referring to it as his blanket.
Nope, Dane took it from him, brushed it off, and got it away from him. So,
But Dane got distracted by some hot orcs outside, so we took it from him.
Yeah, so you presented. He looks over the smaller orc who hops off his stool, walks over, picks, you know, touches it. Smells a bit odd, but age will do that. He flips it over. He checks really close to the inseam of it. The stitching's right. Yes. Yes. Maybe. Oh. Uthkaron. It does appear to be the banner. God, I'm going to have to wake her up in the middle of the day. This is going to be a mess. Particularly before the festival of Minigoth. Yes, you know, she likes to sleep.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. The festival of
Minigoth already?
It comes like every month, but okay. But since we're here near the temple, we thought it was best.
That festival.
Yeah, he points to the unfortunate guard who's in the room with you guys and escorted you in. He goes, you escorted them in. You go wake her and let her know that she has guests who bring tidings of great joy. Of reasonable joy. Don't say great.
That's what we do. We're reasonable.
He's a little.
He's a reasonable.
The orc that escorts you in seems a bit nervous, but he pulls back a side curtain. And there you can see a large sort of like throne made of various sort of like bones and horn, covered with furs, with a pug lying on its back asleep on top of it. And he just sort of goes through, and the curtain closes. And then there's a
scene.
Large amount of noise. Some screaming, strangled sound, a whisper, some dogs barking, and then the curtain opens, and there she stands in her great muscular majesty. Maladuk, chieftain of all the orcs of the Misty Vale. She is wearing what appears to be like a bathrobe and some sort of, you know, puffy slipper heel things, but other than that, fierce. With three pugs running around her feet. What in the 7, 6, 2 hells are we looking at? What do you want? And
our magnificent persons is what you're looking at.
Yeah, she looks down at you.
Hello.
Is this one of the dwarves from the Motherlode? He's like, no. Okay, good. Well, you have something great and tidings, to which the Lork will explain that you have the banner and was willing to give it. And she seems very pleased with that and goes, wait it. She looks at you at Brains, and then looks at you, Quiverwing, and he looks at all of you in turn. Son. This is the Oracle Slayers.
Oh.
They killed the Oracle? Yeah.
It's a big spider. Scary.
These things happen.
Yeah, we've heard from our field team that there was an Oracle Slaying. I had sent another replacement command to take over, but there seems to be no need, since apparently, if the suspicions were true, you left with a piece of a statuette. Come, let me go sit at my throne. Because like,
we have no statuette.
Reaper, snarl, move! Two of the thugs go bouncing off. She goes, come in. She just sort of pushes the curtain aside and steps in. Inside the room, there are two more of those heavily armored orcs who are just sitting beside the door behind the curtain at his side, unmoving. There is that same orc who escorted you originally, who was apparently trying to regain his breath after being apparently punched in the throat. And she daintily picks up the pug that's still asleep on the throne and sits down, stroking its belly. So, Oracle Slayers.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's us.
You bring the banner. Mm-hmm. You wish...
The statue is useless to anyone at this point.
She raises an eyebrow to that. Has it been broken or destroyed somehow by some arcane power?
It's been used.
The only way it can be used is if it's assembled.
Yes.
Funny that.
You don't need to seek the statue pieces anymore. The statue's been assembled and the weapon has been retrieved.
I don't think we were going to mention that.
And now we want your help to use it against the Archmage Lich. Because, of course, that's why we're all here.
I had assembled every tribe in the valley to agree to an alliance in order to make certain that the pieces are found. That the sword may never be a threat to us, because the sword is the one way.
The sword is standing in this room with you right now, mm-hmm. asking for your alliance. It's not a threat to you. It's asking for your help.
We have a long history with Daken and the Elder Races altogether. And every time we have allied... there has been talk, and then there's later betrayal. So you must understand that I am trepidatious about the idea that you will somehow be successful, or even be grateful at for our assistance for helping you do so.
Let me ask you a question. Which would be worse for you and your people? If we were to go there and fail...
Mm-hmm.
And then the enemy has access to the weapon that it needs to bring forth 200 centuries of death.
To set him free, yes.
Or we go there and succeed in harmony with you.
Oh, see, you don't go there at all.
Oh, no, we're going.
We're just asking for your assistance in ensuring that our departure and return could be secure along these rather dangerous coasts.
The little orc with glasses comes in, and she goes, Janet? He goes, it's Janet. Yeah. Janet, what is it?
There's an apostrophe.
There's an apostrophe and an umlaut. Yes. Fancy. Scroll and pitfire. Oh, yes. Damn scholars. The banner is legitimate. I'm having the shaman look it over now.
It is. As I said, it was given to us by the shade of that Tahmuk tribe chiefess.
Oh, to see her. She even in ghostly form.
You know, after she tried to kill us. She was kind.
The shaman said that she was trapped.
She's not trapped anymore. She was freed afterwards. Her spirit went on to whatever you believe in.
I went on to dream with Aru.
That, yeah, sounds right.
Well, what is your name?
I am Quiverwing, the battle mage.
You have the sword here with you now. You wish to go to the isle on the Mirror Lake. And you believe you can defeat Azagoth, and therefore prevent him from opening a gateway for his master, Sothmog.
Yes.
His power has influence over this entire valley for some time. Omens have now gotten more frequent. Cultists have gotten bolder. And now you will take the one key to his certain escape straight to his hands. And we are to support you in this endeavor. Here's what I can tell you, Quivering of... I don't know where you're from. We cannot, because considering this is considering the size of your company.
Thought she was going to say plumage there for a second.
No, you have fantastic plumage. Though I suspect if plucked, it will not be as nice. So the only thing to do if I want to keep it around was keep you around. But you'd have to be really overfed, that way you won't run away. Oh, which reminds me. Tell them there's a shaman here. There we go. And, you know, the Janet. Janet leaves. We can't accompany on your island. PK 1 and 1 through 3 have already attempted to do so. And the mist has killed them. The sword will provide a pocket of protection, but not big enough for a force useful enough to go there. At least I can't send orcs with your team. They will all fit in that same little hole of a pocket. You have freed the orcs trapped within their banished place during a battle. You have slain the oracle to give her a whole new body of regrowth that she may return, reborn and refreshed. You have assembled the statue and you have retrieved the sword of Umdurman. So you seem quite formidable. You seem to have the skills possibly needed to be successful, where so many have failed without the proper tools, but who can say? You do have a wolfkin with a block in his head, but...
It's actually a strong point.
It's magical.
Yes. A few minutes later, there is another orc that comes in wearing robes and covered with various beads and has, you know, a staff who steps in behind the curtain, looks around, and immediately shuffles over to Quick to Quivering. And he gives you the hand signals of arcane magic.
He then turns. Secret hand signal or a mating ritual?
You don't know. He looks at you and just sort of does this.
Actually, hold on. I'm sorry. If indeed he is truly their shaman, I will offer him a piece of cake.
He will offer you a spice cake back.
Oh God, we've established a currency in this world.
No, he's not for mundanes. Says the orc chieftain. Says the shaman. Chieftain, the banner is true. Held aloft, it will give us a great advantage in combat. The whole company will be, well, those within view of it will do better by marching under it. Very well, we will go with you to secure the shores once we finish with our ceremony here tonight. If you wish, you can go ahead or wait to or stay here and wait.
I think that I would like to... Stay here and bask in the beauty of the queen of all orcs.
Whoa.
Well, that's a way. That'll work.
Yeah. You know, just saying.
Don't usually get those kind of things.
I mostly did it so that I could turn around and look at Corinne's face when I said it.
Yeah, her face. Has, you didn't think that her. You didn't think that her corpse-like pale flesh would get even paler, and her eyes become sort of slits of fury. Ooh. And she's just like,
"This is very not. Interesting."
But she has been very quiet about the whole entire situation.
All you have to do is you know, if Tyr leaves, I have to start talking. I guess that's how it works.
That's true.
Apparently.
Become forgetful as well.
What?
Yes.
You will remain here with us then this evening. Until evening.
Yeah. I'm gonna grab a nap topside before nightfall.
Go right. We will remain until Minigoth comes to his suitor at night. And once that is done, we will probably march a few hours thereafter. Once we have his blessing. How well do you see in the dark?
What?
You need torches, I suppose?
Yes, I do. But I also can cast light.
Most of us can make allowances.
Yeah. How many, including our party, do we have any kind of a notion of how many orcs we could bring with us into our pocket of non-noxious fumes, assuming that Brains hasn't eaten any beans recently?
Me? Darg's standing right there.
Right?
I guess.
Okay, between the two, the bubble's actually a lot smaller.
She'll sort of, you know, ring a bell and Janet will come back in. She'll ask the question, like, how big of an area will be cleared by the sword? As I understood it, it'd be too small to send a decent company. Mulling over it, the shaman goes, "One's a tail, chieftain. And the area that's created by the sword is not immense. You cannot move an army, obviously. But
who carries the sword? Is it Darg that carries the sword? I'm not. Nope. I'm not asking that.
I don't know. Opening up. It's but it's Baylor.
Sean's got
Sean,
it.
Sean's got it.
Okay.
Baylor. Oh yeah. I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Yeah. He hasn't said a word. He's been very quiet.
And Darg's been too busy. He sat down and started playing with the pugs.
He's actually playing with the orc that can't catch his breath because he got punched in the throat.
Oh, okay. He's just trying to.
He's seeking his intellectual equal.
Yes. These are fierce beasts.
Ah. Well, they could. Actually, they could move a big team. I think about it. Because there was always talk of a small group. But then again, this is talking the armies of the Dragon Emperor. But more than likely, him and his honor guard could easily move within the sphere. We could send some with them. Very well, we will think about volunteers to go. I have sent too many of my best already. On other missions and on this one alone, PK3 was probably my best team.
Maybe they're still there.
Anything is possible.
But didn't eat their souls.
If their souls are not eaten. But the biggest thing will be securing the shores of the lake. There are patrols that move around. When I've gathered from our scouts, it will need to be dealt with. We will send some orc warriors with you to ensure their success and the defeat of Azakoth. I would drink to it, but it's like the middle of the night, and I really need middle of the day, and I really need to get my sleep. I will see that Uthkaran sees to your needs while you're here.
Thank you, my queen.
Not a queen, just the chief.
Yeah, but you're the chief of chiefs.
I am basically the alliance administrator, but yes, that's fine. Yeah, technically chief of chiefs. Yes.
And you have smart slippers.
Oh, I got them in a really nice... Yes, thank you. Goodbye.
I mean, She has not webbed feet, but, you know, the slippers would make up for that.
Mm. After that, the orc that originally escorted you and has gained his breath back and will just sort of point you towards the door and escort you out. Or, still sitting at the desk, you know, now putting wax seals and things, is the other large orc. Okay, and send those off, and those two.
So, can I make a spot hidden while we're in the throne room to see if there's anything
there? Absolutely.
That is hurriedly being, like, hidden away from us? I'll make it by two. I don't know if that matters, but...
Okay.
Dart would like to make a sleight of hand to abscond with a pug.
Okay.
But he only has a 6 in skill, so it's not going to be very good.
Okay, but quivering, the funny. Okay, he just sort of bites you on the hand and then runs around and and she just goes, you know, snarl, stop bothering human. They don't taste that good.
Or smell, frankly.
But as far as. The one thing, Quivering, there is no attempt to hide what they have there. If anything, she just literally just came from one of the side sort of portions of the tent, probably her chamber, and came right in here. Okay. I mean, they have weapons and so forth. There's two guards who are standing in here who've said nothing, who are like almost in like this sort of full plate, who haven't moved. You know, there apparently is no attempt to hide anything or to use subterfuge, just plain news who they are is what they are.
Okay.
And even the papers and stuff on the desk when they were out there, they didn't really attempt to move or hide anything. He just didn't tell you how many teams of something there was. But the orc outside will introduce himself as Uthkaran, one of the chieftains under the great chief, Maladok. If you need a tent, he can... he would probably suggest you use your own, but...
I have a bedroll.
Okay. Right. He will warn you that they have, that one of their wargs was killed by something. We don't know what, but probably a big wolf last night. So just keep that in mind. He will point to the temple that you guys saw. And he'll say, the temple of the Green Daughter, we do not enter until nightfall, and Minigoth has risen to his full height, and his face shines brightly upon it. He is her suitor, and it seems rude to introduce ourselves before he has come.
Okay.
I do not know the nature of how you day can work, but that is how we work. So no orcs will follow you over there, and no one will escort you. What dangers you encounter will be your own until nightfall. And Minigoth has risen.
Okay. I'm gonna catch some Z's before nightfall. But before I do, I'd like to take 15 minutes to work on a rock.
A healing pebble.
Another healing pebble.
Okay. Well, the rest of you, what do you want to do? Corinne would prefer to make camp as far from the rest of from the orcs as possible.
Yeah, okay. Baylor.
Yes.
Hold this in your hand and say, Quivering Rocks, if you need to be healed.
Oh, thank you.
In battle.
Just that.
Don't use it before you need it.
I will not. Thank you so much.
Darg will assist Corinne. He'll hold tent poles.
Just for all of you who've gotten this for me, it'll give you 4d8 HP back.
4d8?
Yeah. 4d8.
Oh, yeah, I'm killing you guys.
How long do they last?
Because it's being done using charge, unless the rock itself is broken, it doesn't ever... Either you use it or it stays there.
Oh, okay.
So permanence is only for you personally, as I understand the spell. But maybe I'm wrong. I mean, this is a question for GMs to interpret.
I guess, are we going to go and make a camp outside of their camp? Is that what we're doing?
Well, that is what Corinne would like to do.
All right. Yeah. We're probably going to need some food. So I'm going to do a little, see if I can do some hunting.
I understand that right now, as far as your location, the encampment is further, is closer to the river than it is to the actual Magna Woods.
Okay.
Though there's a small strip of land anyway there.
I'll go fishing. Oh, I don't have a fishing pole.
It's not too far to go to the forest, though. Okay. I'll just say that. It's not like a big, big journey to that. It's not very far. They just have their camp centered more with the water behind them, and it's sort of picketed to face the forest. The only thing is, like, the warg pits, the warg holding pens are sort of are on the edges of the camp encampment. They're not, like, huge, and there's not, like, a lot of wargs that are in them. Basically, it's, like, almost, like, each pen, we'll call it, only holds, like, two wargs that appear to be sleeping in each one. So it's only, like, a total of four wargs, you see. In addition to the large, tall, conical orc tents, there are a few sort of small, rounded tents that are closer to the, some are closer to the actual warg holding areas. But there's very few actual orcs walking around. And like I said, the fire pits are dormant, and like they have wood stacked in them for possibly lighting, but no one's lit it. You know, it's basically, when you think about it, it's pretty much very similar to one of your camps in the middle of the night. No one's really, they're not, it's not very active because they don't need to be, and it's this time of day. So, and there's one thing we haven't really discussed, but I should have, we should have probably reiterated about this. The Misty Vale has had this sort of fog that pervades it. So what that, or at least how I imagine it, is that during the morning, the mist that rises stays around a bit longer and stays to darker and sort of lower places more for longer in the day. It does eventually vanish, but the valley seems to be under a constant overcast. Always. Like, you guys have not really seen the sun. You've seen, we can tell where it is through the haze, but haven't really had it unobstructed. So patches of clear sky are not a thing you've seen very much. They've gotten cloudy and so forth, which is why the orcs have been able to move freely during the day. No particular problem. Normally they have a disadvantage as far as moving during sunlight, but they haven't when they've been in the valley and been moving freely through here with no problem. So there's no one wearing, none of the guards are wearing like heavy hats or something to keep out the sunlight. They don't need to, or have shades or something, or they're having to wait until nightfall to move. They just are waiting. I mean, this time they seem to be waiting particularly for a particular ceremony, but otherwise, that's it. But just so you know, like, even in the Magna Woods, where, there was very little actual undergrowth, that at night the fog would rise among the trees. And at night, and at day, in the morning, it was slow to dissipate, And in places where there was a pervadence of evil, like upon the moors and so forth, there were literally swirling clouds of mist that would almost seem to reach up to the sky at certain places. So, but near the river, it seems a bit much thinner during the day. And it will basically get foggy during the night, so the mist will probably roll up during the evening. But the orcs don't seem to be that concerned at this point in time. But probably that's why they have the big pit fires, is so they can burn it off once the night falls. Anyway, they will point out some areas if you want to camp out within their picket. They have no apparent problem with that. But Corinne just wishes to camp outside of it.
Dark will say, Corinne, given that one of their wargs was eaten, I know that you don't like these orcs, although these are the strangest orcs I've ever met. It might be safer to camp inside their picket.
Well, maybe I'll eat an orc before it gets to me.
You need to socialize with them.
There we go. That would be, yes, right.
I'm not setting up a tent anyway. Wherever you guys set it up, I'll just work with that.
That's awesome. You might be right.
Great.
I would be happy to help anyone set up the tent. I'm just not quite sure how it goes up.
Oh, God.
That's what she said.
So Dane will probably help, I guess. I think he has bushcraft or something.
Yeah, Darg has a bushcraft of 5.
Yeah, she won't. She doesn't have it. I don't do bushcraft either.
No, I'm not. I'm not going to do that. I'm making a rock.
You're not helping them. You're doing a rock thing.
Darg will roll. He'll start unpacking the
tent stuff and trying to set it up if no one's going to help him. It's
like, I'm going to have to.
Corinne's going to. Oh, can Corinne sing setting up a camp
song?
What are
you doing?
Just, I don't have one of those songs. I never set up camp.
Okay. Let me render aid. Let me help you, friend.
Well, maybe Please. You should do it then if you're
going to. Okay, I'll try bushcraft, right?
Yeah. Yep. I'll roll, but I don't think I'm going to make it.
Sigyn, this is absolutely amusing.
Oh my god!
I got a three. I got a six. Okay. I made it. So we together we build a camp.
Okay, it is a struggle, but yes, you successfully do it.
No, you put the pole over here
with Jarg's assistance and Braid helping occasionally, and Corinne just sort of saying, "Does that really go there?" You're out hunting. Okay. Yeah. All right. So, do you go to the river, or do you choose? You went to the river, correct? Or did you go into the woods?
I went to the woods.
Okay. In that case, just go ahead and give me the appropriate rolls for hunting.
Oh,
in the
I
woods.
Already rolled.
Oh, how badly did this go for you?
Oh.
I really. Okay. Wow. All right.
Actually, wake one of the orcs that's dozing off just to watch. check this out.
That's not so bad. You,
well, for listeners, I rolled a demon.
Well, the thing is, you do find
a demon.
You do find, well, you do have an animal encounter.
Oh, yay.
Is it the wolf?
No, nope, so it's
in the middle
bear.
Of campus.
Oh, bear.
In the middle of, oh boy.
That's a big wolf.
This is where we lost brains.
And the bear is obviously feels threatened by your presence and will attack you.
Oh, great.
We'll resolve this really quickly with just a couple of...
Sure.
You're going to try and attack it or flee or whatever you're
going to do. I'm going to attack, but I'm going to have my fast footwork in reserve there.
Okay.
This is my first time using dual wield, which I think I rolled twice, the second time with the bane.
I think that's correct.
All right. First time will hit.
He will evade.
Second time, I rolled a 6 and a 3, so I believe I hit with the second one.
He does not bother.
That is my handy-dandy dagger. Where did... So 7 points total.
Okay. And you can go again.
Okay. I'm going to do the same thing again. The first strike, I roll 7. Does it evade?
No, he doesn't bother to.
The second one will miss. D8 and D6. Ooh, 11.
He seems shaken by this and bloodied, which seemed to throw him in some sort of rage.
Oh, great.
You just poked the bear.
I poked the bear?
Yeah, you just poked the bear. He'll hit twice.
Ooh. I guess I'm going to try to dodge one of them.
Okay.
That's a good shot. I rolled a 1.
You definitely get yourself out of the situation.
Anything special happen?
I don't know if there's anything special for a defense, but we'll take a quick look. Think not, though.
I think you can look around and impress everybody with how well you did.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. Going to basically you can.
Or was there like a free attack thing?
I think that may be for a melee attack, but just for rolling a dragon, you impress everyone around you, you achieve more than intended, and you can perform an action faster than usual. That's what you can do, since this is not you attacking. This is you evading.
Okay. All right.
So you flip over the bolt, you vault over the standing bear. Oops. The
Sigyn was watching, so she should be impressed.
did she go out hunting with you?
No. She was like watching me get eaten by the bear.
Yeah. He does successfully with the one bite hits you, doing 10 points of damage as he takes out a chunk.
All right. So I take 9 because of my leather. And what do I have to do to run away?
His claw Fails to make purchases. It scrapes around. Along your... That's a really bad roll for him.
Yeah.
What do you do to run away?
Yeah.
To disengage?
Yeah. To be faster than the bear, I'd imagine.
The thing is to be faster than your average bear.
Shit. I do have more willpower, or I could die.
I think the bear's movement is 12. You can do this. Is he actually by himself out there?
Yeah.
Yes, he went hunting. Oh, he did.
I once was a bear, so I'm rooting for my own team.
All right.
Bears are us.
So I'm going to try one more attack here, but I'm not going to dual wield this time. I'm going to save my willpower for the
evade.
Yeah. Well, I hit.
It's enraged, so he's not going to go. He can. I mean, he's been bloodied terribly, and you have been obviously wounded.
I rolled very shittily. I only did 5 more points of damage.
He roars at you, but suddenly raises his head, sniffing, and then lumbers off as quickly as he can, like sort of almost running at a running gait. Like, yeah, sniffs around and then runs off.
Hey, look! I win again! Ow! Ow, 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 ow! I'm not going to stretch like that anymore. I look around, I'll take a sniff and see if I notice what scared off the thing that was about to eat me.
You can give me, an awareness roll?
A fail.
As you look around the woods, you don't see anything that immediately points out that would scare a bear away that you can see. But you do realize this is the Magna Woods. It was demon-infested.
So it's a demon bear.
Or the demon scared off the bear.
Oh, there's that.
I'm going to make my way bleeding back to the encampment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trying not to leave a blood trail, but not really too good.
Okay. Not succeeding.
Yeah. You're not succeeding, but you do manage to get back, The blood trail does get smaller as you get back.
Guys, sorry, I didn't get any dinner.
Looks like Tina got you.
What happened?
What did you do?
What happened to the other hunter that went with you?
I thought I saw a really large gopher, but it turned out to be a brown bear, and you stab once and they get all torqued about it and want
to,
like,
you see, eat when they're far
off.
Away from you, they appear smaller. When you get closer to them, they get larger.
That's weird. I've noticed that. Science is amazing. I'm going
to
lay down.
If only you had a magic stone to heal you. Oh, well.
If only. If only.
Why did I waste it on brains? Why?
Well, I don't have bandages, so you'll have to look for Bane.
No, I have them. I'm also a healer, besides the magic-y stuff.
But then how will he learn his lesson?
Yeah, he won't. He won't. Is there an orc newspaper that I can roll up?
As a matter of fact.
I like to swat him on the snout.
Nightkin News is out there, sitting there.
The Nightkin Times.
Nightkin News Times is like sitting there. Yeah. Oh, okay.
I love the funnies. They always feature Snoopy.
Look at the funny day people running around. Anyway, so yes, you can't find paper. No.
I just imagine Snoopy being an orc. Curse you, Red Dragon.
True. But yeah, you are badly injured. Hopefully one of your compatriots can help you. The orc camp continues. I mean, basically, there's a few who look at you when you come. When one of the orc patrols are on, Sindri looks at you, but he doesn't really stop you. He just shakes his head and goes about his business.
Range, you're not inspiring confidence in our allies.
I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
You feel really lightheaded.
I mean, I scared it off. I was about to kill it.
Right.
I think you should make a persuasion roll or a bluffing.
Yeah.
No, he's amazingly unconvincing.
Yeah. You've never seen a bear this big. It's probably the biggest in the whole Magna Woods.
Which makes it seem smaller even by the second. I mean, you're used to brains coming about grand tales about himself and what he's encountered. So it's a good chance. There's a very good chance it actually was a gopher that attacked him.
Orcs are saying that not even their bravest warriors would go up against this bear.
Given his skull, I mean, he could very easily lose a fight to termites.
If we get out of this alive, I'm going to get a new plank.
So after you settle down, a few minutes later, there is a orc shaman that comes over to look at you.
Yeah, can I help you?
Okay. And then his mother just looks you over and then heads back towards the chieftain's tent.
He's just going to bring you the orc version of Tussin.
Rub some dirt on it.
So he's got the shits.
If you guys have nothing else you want to do for the rest of the day and just wait until nightfall.
Darg will just watch brains bleed to death.
Okay.
We've bandaged him. He'll be fine.
Oh, yeah, we took care of him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm never going to feel bad. I mean, I gave the dude a 48 healing rock. I mean, it's not a...
A waste on the bear.
You're supposed to use it on yourself.
There's that. So, but if there's nothing else you guys are going to do before nightfall, you do have a couple of just before nightfall where you can get some sleep. Because you guys got there at noon. So, so you probably have like 12, you know, another 6, so you have at least 6 hours of sleep you can get before they wake you up for the midnight.
I'll take a
Do they have beer? I'm trying to think how Darg is going to go to sleep in the middle of the day.
They don't have beer just hanging out, say.
You could pour all your willpower into some rocks. That helps me.
And Darg will just lay, as he sets all the tents up, he's going to lay outside of the tent and just stare at the sky.
Okay. The gray to fall clouds asleep. Above, just, I mean, it's not night, so it's the middle of the day, and you guys are, so it's kind of like...
He's just counting clouds.
Okay.
See if he can fall asleep.
We're going to arrange a rotating watch on Baylor.
Guys, I'm feeling pretty sleepy.
Corinne says, there's a chance he might not get up from this. I mean, that seems like a pretty vicious gopher that attacked
him. No, Brain, stay awake. Please, whatever would we do without you?
So you set up a watch for Balor and rest the rest of the day, at least sleep if you can.
Yes.
Night falls, and as the sun sets and the clouds, you know, and as the sky gets darker, the orc camp seems to start to come to life. There are, you know, lighting of fires and so forth, and cooking and cook pots pulled out, and barrels rolled out of the tents and so forth, and people setting up. And so it looks like the camp is now coming alive for its day work, for you know, to be active. You know, as I said before, there's no particular effort for them of hiding their numbers, so it looks to be something around about maybe like anywhere from like maybe 30 orcs, warriors. You've picked out at least three distinct shaman, about maybe a dozen goblin warriors, and some warg riders among them, and a pool of like maybe 5 to 10, you know, goblin scouts. They make up the camp. I mean, this is just you're probably observing and counting. So basically, you know, that's the basic numbers you're going to get, you think. But it's, you know, it's a decent number of people, you know. This probably could, you know, like, you know, could be comparable, you know, considerable danger, I guess, if you want to concern that. But yeah, they, so it's a decent number.
Do any appear to be expressing any peculiar interest in our party, like surveilling us?
Yes. Yeah. You know, there is a literally almost a party around 10 orcs who rotate as far as watching your particular camp. You've had at least a couple of goblin scouts which have sort of skirted the camp closer and then left your area. The shaman that looked at Brains before does come back to look at him again.
First time seeing a wolfkin?
No, just wanting to know what kind of help he'd be. Wondering if he was going to be viable.
Oh, he's good.
I'll be fine.
He's had worse. Look at the plate on his head.
Hmm. Indeed. He just sort of, you know, after that, he leaves and returns back to the chieftain's tent. It's maybe as the night falls, you can see the light behind the clouds. It's probably the rising of the full moon.
Probably.
And, yeah, you can't see, the skies are overcast outside. Constantly, so okay. You assume that big just bright saying. Light is the cloud.
Or the breath of the dragon, yes.
And the orcs begin gathering up things, like some of the cast they have with them, some of the food and so forth, and they begin sort of making a line. And then with the shaman in the lead and the chieftains behind them and at least 10 warriors following them and a couple of goblins, and they begin marching, or at least sort of like a processional moving towards the old broken down temple. One of the orcs will break off and come over and say, "Are you going to be attending the ceremony or remaining here?"
What ceremony?
We would love to attend. Thank you.
Are we welcome to attend?
The Green Daughter is the daughter of change and seasons. Earth, death, and balance. We can't tell. We can't say who cannot go into our temple or not. We didn't even build this temple.
Okay, then I'll go. I'm partial to spring myself.
Because of the shape of his penis.
It's corkscrew shaped.
That must be wonderful for you.
Not just for me, my friend.
For the pigs, too. Got it. I don't know. Do they set a part of your cuss? I don't know. Some of the cultists we've encountered seem to be... Anyway, we're going on.
Brains, you want to go see this ceremony? You feeling okay?
What's wrong with Brains?
You've stopped leaking thanks to their bandages.
Well, let's just have to take
leaking?
It easy.
Leaking?
Leaking. Brain should perhaps stay here and recover and keep watch on Baylor.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Brains, do you
Baylor's
need help?
Going. Baylor's going.
Do you need help, Brains?
I'll be fine.
How much help do you need, Brains?
I just have to rest. How much time do we rest, like a whole shift? Or
you had a whole shift. You had 6 hours of rest you could have gotten.
Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah.
No, I'm good. Mere flesh wound.
You fully recovered with care. And not bled out and died.
Tis but a flesh wound.
So, for those who accompany the orcs, who basically just they'll have you brought in line behind the rest of the procession and accompany them. When you reach the temple, which is a sort of a circular building that appears to be mostly made of timber and sort of mud and wattle, there is a large tree which seems to be in the middle of it, at least. Coming out, somewhere in the middle of it, it's just a gigantic tree that seems to be almost sort of broken through the middle of it, or sort of half of it, and hangs over the entire thing. It's immense. As you guys are walking towards it, the tree, it seems at first there's like wind blowing, but you don't really feel any wind. And then it just sort of leans back, almost like it's sort of leaning over the temple and leans back, spreading its branches upward. And then there is almost like you can see the swirling mist above begin to spiral out clear to clear skies that happen above the temple as you see the moon cut into this open area of clear skies. All you see is a dark night that you haven't seen in months since you've been here, and stars. And the bright full moon shining down into the courtyard of the temple. The orcs stop, and, you know, there's some reverence that they're giving. It appears to be like, you know, as they speak to, well, I think only, well, I guess you can make a language roll to try and understand what they're saying, what the chant is.
I'm going to try.
Oh, I fail it miserably.
Which what roll was that again?
It's a language roll.
Language.
Oh. Not even going to try.
I have it at a 3.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
there's certain lines that I don't want to cross with Corinne. Mm-hmm. Speaking their heathen tongue is not one of them.
Well, she didn't come. She stayed back in the camp.
Oh, well, in that case. I mean. Yeah.
And Dane will be, you know, Dane didn't, I guess I'll have Dane stay back there with her. Actually, no, he probably would go, so he's going to watch.
I take out my bow to see if it has any cosmetic changes now that it's in the open moonlight.
As soon as you pull it out into the open moonlight, it does begin to glow. There is a couple of looks, but most of them are sort of like reverent, and Dane goes, they are talking about, they are thankful that the steward under the starlight has arrived. And that he is come as first consort to the Green Daughter. Minigoth, the Lord of the Night, to Gala, the Green Daughter, the mistress of of all growing things.
So it's that kind of show?
I bet my ensnaring root spell would be awesome.
I mean, the show's already begun, can't you see? Moonlight, right. Touching the sacred moonlight. There's a sacred stone. Just don't step in there yet.
Got some sacred stones for you to fondle.
So, but yes, your bow begins to glow, and then you know a few, like a shaman, sort of turns and looks at you, and then steps out of the processional area and walks over to you, Sigyn, and goes, "Where is that from?"
We found it in a cave.
We found it
in a cave.
No, I won it in what? Combat.
What?
Well, we did win it in combat after a fashion. After we killed the giant spider that was guarding the cave in which we found it.
I found it in a pile of oracle ichor.
A bow of Minigoth.
I earned it.
We did see its like once before, but it's kind of an odd story, that one.
No, we thought that all the Eldenkin elves that had those had passed away.
It has been some years since this one has seen the light of night, true.
Well, let it bathe in his glory. The Lord of Night will be happy to see it.
Well, I'm happy to have it in his presence.
It is yet another good omen. Against all this blood rain and brogs and lugus that we've been getting. Is it true, wielder of the bow of Minigoth, that the dwarf bears a sword of Umdurum?
I don't think we've said which of our party possesses it as yet.
Thank you. That is quite true.
Not that the dwarf's carrying a well-disguised blade.
I think there's only two people in the party that carry swords, right?
I know, it is. It's one of us, so it's not hard to figure out.
Yeah. When is it? Right?
It's you and Dane.
It's good that your eyes are about us as much as ours are on you.
Oh, you know. We must have trust. Among us, yes. Yeah, I will. I guess because it's just so we know that if he falls, someone must help pick up the sword.
Well, excuse me. First of all, I'm not.
You're not in this conversation.
Oh, not in that one. Okay.
Well, you. I mean, he's talking to her. I mean, if you want to be next to Siggy, you can be and avert this. He was just asking about. He's like, Because
if
it's
I hear
important.
I want to walk over like, oh, I'm not going to fall him because he'll just drop there. I'm not going to fall anywhere, thank you.
He looks, tell you about, the shaman yeah. looks at you, Siggy, goes, apparently you didn't need to tell us who it was anyway or confirm yeah. anything.
Yes.
Very subtle.
It's obvious.
I definitely will not tell you about his first day wielding it.
Oh, please oh. don't.
It was fantastic.
He goes, it's best we know who wields the sword so they can be protected, if he's worthy of wielding it. But he has it. He drew it. He carried it.
Worthy of wielding it. For my magnificence. Oh.
He is very worthy of it.
Look, I'm coated with my essence all as well.
He is the great sword thrower.
He's a very simple straight shaft penis.
He's
not remarkable at all.
I have never seen anyone cast a sword so eloquently as him.
He what?
I've seen it.
Nothing.
Moving on. I have a straight penis.
Straight penis sword. What? Are you talking about the sword or the... What? He will simply just step away and go back to the other possession. Soon after a few minutes of reverence to the moon god Menegoth, the orcs will break out the cast and the food they brought and woo-hoo. You know, give thanks and begin to eat and celebrate. The chieftain will walk over. Well, let's see. You, have really impressed us in the time it took me to take a nap and wake up this evening. So far, you...
Oh, good, you missed it.
Yes, only one of you got mauled by something in the forest. Apparently, the wizard, the mage, has a corkscrew penis... but doesn't prefer pigs, and the dwarf wielding the sword. One of the two swords. Through it. Is it part of a power? He can sling the sword?
What?
Does it come back?
He cast it right at the cultist's feet.
He did get it back.
He could not stand in his power.
What? I don't understand what he's saying. Just ignore
it. It isn't a property that he sort of looks like the shaman that we were aware of. He's never had that. Maybe with something like, yeah, I guess. I never had that.
Well, the fact that he remains standing before you should attest to his abilities with the sword. Just going to roll that bluffing the statement there.
He did free the spirits.
Holy
of,
shit, I made it.
You did free the spirits of the Tauruk of the Turuk tribe and kill the oracle at her greatest form.
I have a bluffing of 4 and I rolled a 4.
And you have many magical weapons among you and items of some power.
Yes, I have this stick.
Oh,
used to slay a demon.
You also have your cloak, too.
Oh, yes. This cloak. Well, I gave that to... I gave it to Brains.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah. He has to attune to it.
Yeah.
The shaman just sort of raises an eyebrow and goes...
We met a group just like us, but better. yeah. And I tricked him. I gave him a silly cup for a magic cloak.
A cloak that changes colors?
Yes.
I just sigh audibly.
Oh, yes. We run to them. The chieftain goes, yes, they helped free my master smith, and he reformed the Worldbreaker for them.
Yeah, we met him.
Yes, you could not... just hope he never uses that weapon.
Right. Okay. It would be useful against demons. It can... we don't believe it can truly break the world. I just think it destroys the world as far as demons are concerned.
Ah, it's a double entendre.
Right. And they chose not to join your cause?
They were busy. They had to bury one of their own. They gave the same sad story about, we can't fit under the sword shield. We're going to die in the gas.
She.
They were very negative. It's true.
Well,
it's true.
So happy to have a human along.
Yes. She just looks at you.
Dark kind of looks around.
And before she can say another word, there is this piercing howl that sounds like a giant wolf or something that rings across the valley through the temple itself.
Oh, no. Brains?
Nope. Wasn't me.
Is it your cousin?
He found Todd? Another gopher.
Does this thing count as a monster or an animal?
What are you by what means are you?
Well, just from the perspective of whether it's a monster or an animal. How about that?
The sound?
Yeah, is it being made by an owl?
It sounds, like something. I mean, you did see wargs, but it does sound something that's bigger than a regular wolf and much more voluminous and dangerous. Yeah.
Okay. Would you like me to make a myths and legends roll or a beast lore roll?
It'd probably be a beast lore roll. Would probably tell you.
I will make a beast lore roll.
Ooh, it's more like that's more likely to.
I rolled a one. That'll do it.
I rolled a two. Yeah, between the two of us.
Yeah.
All right, Jacques and Steve.
You've heard the warg howl before when you guys first entered the valley. Mm-hmm. This sounds like something different.
How did the orcs react to the sound?
They seem upset by the upset by the thing, you know, to a certain degree. The shaman don't necessarily. I mean, they do seem wary of it, but don't seem as alarmed as the rest of the party is. And it does just seem to reverberate through, you know.
What do we know about this type of animal?
It's very loud.
Well, there's that.
And then it's quickly followed up by regular wolf howls in the distance.
It's a dire wolf, maybe?
No, you think it's something far more dangerous with the one. You've heard it before, something like this. It was years ago. It was a case of lycanthropy that had spread through a particular coastal village.
Great. It's a werewolf.
Yes.
Interesting.
Let me grab my silver spoon.
My goodness. You didn't tell me there were werewolves here, Shaman.
He goes, we had hoped it was some sort of demon playing tricks in the woods.
No, it's a werewolf.
One more tribulation we'll have to deal with. We'll prepare as best we can.
Well, it's moonlit night, so...
It is the full moon. It is the frenzy of Minigoths.
It has a pack of regular wolves with it. Mundane wolves.
They often do, but it will upset the wargs.
Did you have any trials with the last full moon while you were here? Was there trouble?
No, we weren't here the last full moon, and no.
Understood.
Just that we heard one... We'd heard the howl the night before. And that's when one of our wargs left its pen and ended up being killed by something. And now we suspect what? They are both territorial. At least, wargs are territorial. And we don't know. Werewolves are just savage creatures.
Will it attack the camp? Or are we safe here?
No.
No, we're not safe. It won't attack the... Okay.
Where's Corinne? She's at the camp.
Mm. Oh, no.
Go check on her.
But there's literally, there was like maybe 20 orcs that were remaining in the camp.
Hmm. How would 20 orcs fare against a pack of wolves and a werewolf?
You think pretty... I mean, like, the werewolf will be the biggest... will be the major challenge. The werewolves probably will not be. Particularly if the... I mean, that's not counting the goblins, which didn't come. And they're, you know... They probably stay behind to try and the warg riders are probably trying to control their wargs, but they would be useful too. So there's not going to be
the wolves would probably stay away from the fire.
Yeah, which is why they had these huge pit fires, which is like I did say before, a mist did roll off off the river, but the pit fires sort of keep it at bay and allow them to illuminate one of the areas. So they probably will avoid the fire, and it's a pretty much glowing area. You can even from here. From the temple where you guys walk from, you can see the whole camp as far as pretty much well lit.
I suspect the camp would be a safe place for the rest of our friends.
It should be. It doesn't mean they want to. Yeah, I guess it should be. Because but the something is, werewolves do not go on logic necessarily, but perhaps the rest of their pack will lead them. They often are just frenzied with lunacy of the savage kill. But I think our numbers may hold it at bay. The ward broke loose and ran off on its own to challenge them. So, last we heard, it was much deeper in the woods.
I'm sure Dane is very excited.
Something must have brought it further out. Perhaps it was following. He looks over at, at Brain's blood or something.
Weird.
So they will finish the basically, Darg, there is beer to drink here.
Darg will drink beer.
But he is there soup?
If there is soup, he will eat soup no or legs soup? Of turkey or whatever they have to eat.
They do have some roasted meats, but it seems that they're not in the greatest. They just like they do. It mostly just seems to be like not a substantial enough here. Like maybe they just like it's just basically just for toasting and for celebrating, and they're going back to the camp to actually eat and drink.
Well, he'll try to ingratiate himself with some of them, telling them, you know, hey, do you guys know Agra? I know Agra. We hung out. She was cool.
Well, yeah, they mean, it's, they seem in
good spirits. We battled together.
That helps. They do ask about, you know, her combat skill and, you know, and how well she took care of her underlings as far as offering them certain, you know, programs as far as care and...
they had excellent health care.
Yeah, and leave options.
She was a mighty warrior. She was true to her word and bold and brave, and it was a shame to watch the spider split her in two and spill her guts upon the cave floor, but you know, it was better than the alternative.
Wait a minute, she survived.
That's exactly what it was like. She did report back in, but okay. Yes. I mean, her placement was sent so she could be brought to the line.
There was some healing. Here? We had to do some healing.
She had to go take over the operation in the Dwarven mine. What happened here? What are you talking about? She didn't die.
She must have gotten better.
She didn't die. She was dead. Transferred.
She turned me into a dude. Well, I got better.
It was a spiritual death. It was a spiritual death.
I just make the drinky-drinky motion.
I mean, I literally watched the spider cut her open. I just figured she was dead. I didn't really pay much attention after that.
Yeah, she was
just
transferred.
Released that episode.
So, yes, but you're able to ingratiate yourself well enough with the orcs in the camp. They're kind of amused that you have no idea about personal changes and transfers, but they will, you know, share the meat that they have and their plethora of, you know, various drinks and vegetables.
Is nobody else worried about the werewolves? Like how?
Well, there is a patrol of 20 orcs that are like 10 orcs that are on shift and 20 orcs that are moving around who are watching, who are on sentry duty.
Okay.
You know, and then they rotate out because they're planning on leaving within the next shift. So yeah, they're concerned.
Okay,
but it's a manageable risk.
As long as we're all cool here, just like
they're all cool
looking
here,
at vegetables, you know, and stuff like that. And
yeah, and after the meals are done, they, you know, break down the tents and the camps and so forth, and get them all packed up, and then
as long as Darg stops covering himself in gravy, we should be fine. Yeah.
No promises.
Oh, that's gravy. I was wondering. So how do you seduce somebody in this game? What's the
role play?
I think it's
persuasion.
Turn me on, Tim.
I want to try to seduce the orc queen.
Okay, yeah, you probably need that. Well, it's gonna be persuasion. Persuasion. Yeah. I think is what you.
Yeah, choose. I have it at 6. So okay, here we go, guys.
This should be good.
Here it goes.
How are you doing?
Fuck. 17.
Roleplay is 17.
I think you're hot, baby. I'm just saying.
Hey, Chieftain, have you thought about these nuts?
If you ask me real nice, I will send you the bill.
I do apologize.
Well, you ain't mad, Doc. You don't know how to.
He's not normally like this.
Have what? Sex. Sorry.
Yeah.
We've been in the valley far too long.
She just.
My role did not work.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, maybe I should push it. I'll push it. I can push it.
Oh, yeah. That's what you're trying to do.
Really?
Push it real good.
Her reaction was not okay.
I'll push it. I'm going to push it. I'm going to be angry.
Like, let me just see.
Are you an incel? A Mallard incel?
Pretty much.
Actually, I made it. I rolled a 4. So that succeeds by 2.
It is a choppy and ugly beginning.
But I'm angry about it. Like,
but when you get angry, well, it becomes...
That's what turns her on, maybe.
That kind of gets her thing going, and it sort of smooths out. And she goes, you know, it's not like my husband's here.
So?
He's not
mind
here.
Over matter, baby. He don't mind. He don't matter.
Apparently it matters to them.
So, let's think. Let me kick the pugs out.
Oh, Darg will gladly
take care of the pugs. Yeah.
My human's got a thing for your dogs. Just saying.
You're going to have to say more than that.
Say less.
Never mind.
My human likes your dogs intimately.
Yeah, Darg will sit with the dogs next to the fire and talk to
you. Them.
I'm going to go with the guards that are patrolling the perimeter far from this tent. Let's
play Red Saber.
Okay. So, you have a very enlightening and interesting evening. You learn more about yourself and about the chieftain who united all the orcs in the valley. In the veil. And about yourself.
Awesome.
It was kind
Does
of odd that she's
waddling funny.
It was kind of odd that she sent out the pugs, but her two sentries just remained there the entire time.
Yeah, that's cool.
In full blatant, but they didn't really say anything. But yeah, it is a very Darg, you get to spend all the time with the chieftain's dogs, which you learn. Their names are
Little Darg 1, Little Darg 2, and Little Darg 3.
Reaper, Snarl, and Poopsie.
Snarl. Nice.
He will give them too many scraps, too much beer.
And, you know,
And eventually just pass out with them next to the fire.
To which the orcs that are talking to those who are still awake, but like, he does realize we're going to be marching in like a half an hour, right?
It's nighttime. It's time for bed.
You do not need to make any type of awareness roll, Balor. You do realize that, you know, pretty soon, as the course of this sort of like eating and sort of, you know, breaking down a camp, that probably, you know, several meters away, there always seems to be one of those really large orcs in plate armor, just sort of, you know, there hanging out.
Can I help you with something?
Do you walk over to talk to him?
Yes, I walk over. I said, I notice you've routinely, there's one of you or your cohorts hanging around. Is there something you need?
He's making sure nothing ill
happens. I need you not to die.
Oh.
That's the order. Don't die. And if you do, take up the sword.
Oh, of course, yes. So,
but well, don't die gonna, first.
Well, but it's important you don't die first.
You should probably stay closer to keep me alive. So come. Come with me.
Or, hey, I'm being subtle.
You're not being subtle. It's called subtle, too.
I will give you proper
pronunciation. That's a really weird pronunciation.
Where's the forge?
That doesn't seem like a very good pronunciation. Is that a dwarven pronunciation of that
word? Where's the forge? Where's the forge at? Where's your forge?
We don't take one in the field here with us.
What? What is wrong with you?
I mean, we have like a craft. We have like a guy who does sharpening and checking things. Yeah, that guy.
Chieftain's got a forge. She's currently making mallard steel.
But you...
Which you guys, unfortunately, are aware of. Something's going incredibly wrong or terribly right. You're not really sure how to face it.
So, I hear some noise. I look at it. My God, do you hear that?
Nope.
It sounds like somebody's being attacked in that tent.
Nope, it's fine.
I can't wait to work on this scene, by the way.
Horrible. Surely we must aid. Are you sure?
We do not comment on these things. We simply just go.
Oh, you poor, poor people. You poor men.
Tunnel vision, happy place.
Let us try and distract ourselves with something.
Yeah, his great helm gives him really terrible peripheral vision, so he's not going to look at it anyway, but he's like, I will show you to the weapons master.
Yes, please. Let's distract ourselves from this horror from taking a place around us.
You can meet their sort of traveling camp. It's very similar to the Hobgoblin's Forge as far as a traveling bed they have.
Okay, I'll mess around with that.
Yeah. It's mostly just general maintenance as far as basic repairs and maintenance of weapons for the orcs.
Well, you don't have to worry about anything attacking us with that noise going on. It would scare anything away. But what's your name, good warrior, knight?
Usig.
Ludzig?
Usig.
Usig. Oh, so nice to meet you, Usig. And then I'll just hang out with Usig. And, do you want that sharpen? That's blade? Looks rather dull.
For sure.
And then he'll just do that, just to occupy his time. That's where he feels best.
Okay. At about the second shift of the night, the camp is broken down and they're assembling to march and head for the Mirrored Lake. So the orc chieftains, in addition to the chieftain himself, does not show up yet. She doesn't show up yet. Her tent is taken down last. But everything's taken out of it, just as far as other things. The other chieftain, Uthquaran, will tell you that we're going to start their march, though we're starting late in the night. We should get there by before Ulthari rises. The warden of the Dreamlands will be rising, and we'll camp then. And there's a destroyed village. Well, not destroyed village, but an old village. Lakstrad, although we can make camp there. That is where PK 2 and 3 expeditions left from there. Be advised, we will probably not be leaving during the daylight. The Mirror Lake, the clouds are not over it. Always. On the shore, yes. But not over the waters. Over the island, yes. That's still a lot of light coming in. We do have marching songs. You may participate. If you don't want to be whipped, please state so now.
Can't speak for Dog, but I'm against the whippings.
Okay, no whip for you. You'll have, they'll go around and make sure he won't personally do it, but there's somebody who comes along, Jeanette, who will come and ask you, do you want the whip, or you want to be just it to be, a symbolization, kind of sound thing? This is strictly motivational marching. We just don't want to push it. If you can't handle it, we're not going to make it bad. You good?
I think we're good.
All right, great. Okay. So we get everybody assembled, and the war gliders take off from the flanks. The goblin scouts have left already, and the tempest broken down. You are woken up. I mean, basically, the chieftain begins getting herself assembled. You can stay in there while she gets dresses, and she's basically putting on all the various trophies she's won from everybody, other people on. She puts her face paint on, her war paint, and everything else, and,
calls in a single solitary mallard feather.
Yeah, a single solitary.
Pull one out of my
In her cap.
She just sort of puts it in her cap, in her headdress, and goes, now it feels like it's complete. So, and then
find out.
Darg, you are poked
but it seems like forever by various pull arms.
Stop, Poopsie. Stop. No, no more jerky.
Okay, weird.
Is that a verb or a noun?
Somebody leans over and whispers in your ear very softly and says, Jesus Christ.
Let it happen.
This episode is brought to you by Pinot Noir.
Okay. Someone whisper in your ear, we're heading out. You're more than welcome to rest here. There is a werewolf. Choose wisely.
Dargle kind of look up. I'm kind of, who's he looking at? Who whispered in his ear?
You don't recognize this orc.
Oh.
I mean, they all look alike to you, right? Human.
They're very strange orcs. But he'll get up and brush himself off and put his helmet on and start trudging in the line.
Okay. Since you didn't go for the non-whip, you did get a hip. No. As you also notice, none of the orcs are getting whipped, just you.
I'm the only one who didn't sign the...
waiver. So yeah. I'm just like, oh, there's that whip.
Stop complaining. It's a cultural thing.
I told you he was into it.
Yeah. You don't understand what's happening, but yeah. But they begin marching and trying to get some speed before they end. And we will end this session tonight. I think it's about time, right, Dan Lindblock?
Yeah. Yes. It's good.
As you guys are marching towards the Mirror Lake, you will arrive just before daybreak. And because of the numbers and so forth, we're going to hand wave any possible encounters. I think other things will avoid you. Though you, Balor, do see in the distance, you saw him once before at the Ritter Mound a long time ago. But once again, you see the Black Knight with the horse with the red eyes. There's a crest to him, not too far, just a bit out of the patrol route. His head turns and looks directly at you, you think.
I got something for you, bitch.
He's just start tapping a sword.
Do you take out the sword? Do you draw the sword? Do you draw the sword?
Yes. Don't draw
the sword. And this is how the episode doesn't end at 11.
Yeah, I throw it.
He turns the horse towards you, and let's end there.
Yay!
Hi, this is Matt, the co-host of the Advanced Age Roleplaying Gamers podcast, and you've been listening to our latest actual play, Mirth, Magic, and Mayhem, using the Dragonbane TTRPG from Free League Publishing, based on the classic Swedish roleplaying game, Drakkar Demoner. If you like what you hear, please follow, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel and anywhere else you find podcasts. We also really appreciate feedback and chatting with folks, so feel free to tweet us, comment on our YouTube, or leave us a review so we can reach even more people. You can also visit our website at www.theaarpgs.com, where you can read more about the cast, listen to old episodes, and even shop our store for cool Geek Chic merchandise. This story features Malcolm and Nathan as co-GMs. Malcolm will also be playing the role of Karin, a halfling bard. Nathan will be playing the role of Brains, a wolfkin thief. Our players for this story are Tyr as Dane Ringson, a human scholar. Sean as Balor Banefire, a dwarven smith. Chris as Sigyn, an elven huntress. Anthony as Corrigan Stonehammer, a halfling fighter. And Tim as Quiverring, the Mallard Mage. Character artwork created by Nemesis to Anthony Cupo and friend of the show, Jody P. Schaefer, whose work you may recognize from Metacopolix, Mari Kari, Megas XLR, and MTV's Downtown. Contact him when the time is right. You'll know how and when. Music licensed through Dark Fantasy Studios and SoundCue. Sound effects by Nathan, using Krotos Weaponizer, Studio, and Dehumanizer, using libraries from Boom Library, SoundCue, Krotos, and his own recordings. So thank you again for taking time to sit down with us at our gaming table. And until next time, remember, you're never too old to roll.